As we get into Romans 12 here, I'm just finding so many things. I've always preached on Romans 12, 1 and 2 and pretty well ignored the rest of that chapter. And I'm finding some rich things in that chapter that are just for us. And as I come into today, I've got four things on my mind. And the first of those is a subject that's kind of hard for us all to deal with, and that's humility. I found a couple of interesting stories that have to do with humility. One was from Tom Brokaw, who, of course, was a national news anchor for years. And I noticed him on TV with some of the election stuff here lately, still a very valuable part of everything. And he tells the story that he was in New York, having just risen to the top of the pack, and he was out shopping, and some guy came up to him and said, "Are you Tom Brokaw? You look like Tom Brokaw." And he said, "Yes, I am." And as he began to talk to the guy said, I remember you being news anchor here and there, and weren't you on such and such a station in Omaha, Nebraska?" And Tom said, I looked at him and said, "Yes, I was." And he said, I was getting all puffed up and ready just to wait for all these accolades that he was going to give me and just be able to graciously thank him, even though I was just getting all within myself there. And he said, the guy looked at me and said, "Whatever happened to you?" I came across another story that kind of tells it. A famous baseball player back in the mid-80s, Tom Seaver, playing for the New York Mets, was just about ready to win his 300th game as a pitcher. If he would hit that goal, of course, it would make him more famous than he already was and probably more prosperous than he already was, if that's possible. He was three outs away from winning that 300th game. And he went over to where his daughter and wife were sitting. He looked at his daughter and he said, "Three more outs, three more outs, and I've got it." The daughter said, "Good, then we can go home and go swimming." Humility. Something that kind of puts us in our place at times and makes us stand up and take some notice. Well, whatever happened to you? Romans 12:3 says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you should, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with what the measure of faith God has given you." We come off of verses 1 and 2, and we're talking about sacrifices and total transformation in those two verses. You remember being a living sacrifice, allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our mind, where the whole thought process is and everything that governs what we do is. But here in verse 3, we begin to see the results of the transformation that begins to take place in each of us when we really get all of God and He gets all of us. Well, humility is just one of those things that comes to my mind this morning. Barbara, is this week missionary meeting on Wednesday? A week from Wednesday, we're going to delve into this a little bit more along with verses 4 through 8 and what this whole thing is really talking about. But I'm looking at a subject called self-esteem. Self-esteem is associated with self and love and pride and original sin. And yet, I believe it's biblical to have some self-esteem in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "The body is the temple of God." And it has come to me and really hit me hard these last couple of weeks. If I don't take care of my body, I can't serve God to my very best. And so I have to take care of the temple. I've often heard it said, have some pride in yourself. Well, we look at that and say, well, make yourself presentable for the day. I try to do that on Sundays especially. Do a good job in all you do as though you're doing it for the Lord. That's scriptural. And so somewhere in there, I have to have a certain amount of pride. I have to have a certain amount of self-esteem. If I feel too low about myself, I'm apt to just go about the day with nobody cares what I do, how I do it, and just only go half-baked at things and just not do them quite right. And I've even had the thought that if I'm really going to do things the way I'm supposed to do them, when I come to God, there has to be a certain amount of caring for myself as I come to Him and say, Lord, I want to be the best for You now that I've discovered You. And so I come to Him with that living sacrifice, asking Him to make me better. I come to Him asking Him to renew my mind, making me better for Him. If I don't care at all about myself, I'm not going to do that. Someone's going to have to really kick me hard to get me to do it. So I have to have a little bit of self-esteem in order to get all these things together and get it all in my mind and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But then I come into this whole subject of humility, which seems exact opposite to self-esteem. I found 36 New Testament verses about humility and 45 Old Testament verses about humility. It talks about being dust and ashes. I'm nothing but dust and ashes. I have to think of other people first. I have to do the right thing. Do not puff yourself up. Do not criticize others. Walk humbly before the Lord. And they go on and on and on and on, telling me how low I am and how unworthy I am, and just keeps going at me and hammering me down and making me feel like I'm just totally worthless. And so I find a confusing thought here. I'm supposed to be humble and yet at the same time have some self-pride. I don't know if anybody else has thought these weird thoughts, but I sure do. We associate humility sometimes with letting people walk all over us and being nice all of the time. I looked at Jesus' humility. He cared for others. He healed people. He met their needs. He sat down and talked to them. He explained things to them. He dealt with the children. I thought about this humility. I remember some years ago when I was in campgrounds management, Nazarene campgrounds management, I was walking across our campgrounds early one morning. I didn't see anybody else around, but there was a little boy out playing in the middle of the ball field. I think the kid was 4 or 5, if that old. Now, I'm sure his parents were sitting right across the road at their camper watching him. I didn't see him, but I just knowing those parents, I know that that kid was not just out there by himself. They were sitting there by their trailer watching him. I knew where their trailer was. I knew who the kid was. There was not another person in sight. Our district superintendent was walking across the grounds from the cottage he was staying in, and as he got up where that kid was, he got down on one knee and sat there and talked to that kid for maybe 5 minutes. Probably made that kid's day. He made my day. I'm sure he had busy things to do. He was on his way to early morning prayer meeting. But there he was, taking the time to stop and talk to that kid. That's the way he was. Humility. Nobody too important. Nobody there to pat him on the back or anything, but there he was. I've thought about that in relation to humility for each of us. We need to care about other people as Jesus did. Jesus took time to get away. He wasn't always out there with the crowds, always being patted on the back, always having to do something. He took time to get away and talk to His Heavenly Father. I'm also aware that in His humility, He did some things that were not especially what we would think of kind and nice. There was one case where He told the disciples if they got into a town and started evangelizing and nobody would listen to the Word of God, to leave that unrepentant town and even shake the dust of that town off of their shoes and not take it out of town with Him and leave them to their own vices. Doesn't sound very nice, but they were wasting their time there. He cleared the table in the temple. You know, we would think that here's Jesus, this humble guy who's so kind and loving, would go in the temple and say, now listen, you guys really shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, I would really prefer you do this stuff elsewhere. No, He went in and cleared the tables and flipped some things over and chased them out. That doesn't sound very nice. I'm reminded that in our humility, sometimes we just have to do the right thing and just say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. You see, he also had some not so nice things to say at some times. He called some people vipers. And there were other times where he just cut right through to the core to get people awake and alive. And here he was humble and doing it all in a Christian manner. Sometimes the right thing to do might seem tough, but it can be done in a Christian manner and done according to God's rules. Humility here is not talking about being Mr. Nice Guy. Humility here is not talking about getting down and talking to a little kid. Humility here is throwing ourselves at God's feet and realizing that all we have in ours because of His grace, and then acting out our day in accordance with His grace that He has put into our lives. Lord, our prayer should be, let my life and actions bring glory to You today. Not looking for glory for myself, but looking for glory for God. Is how I'm handling this going to bring God's glory? Is how I am living my life today going to point people to Jesus Christ? It's okay to have some pride. It's okay to have standards that we have for ourselves. It's okay to take pride in being punctual. It's okay to take pride in doing a good job. It's okay to take some pride trying to look presentable in public. It's okay to take some pride in being confident in how you go about your day and being a little bit dignified about how you do things. But at the same time, we have to have the humility. That's the first grace of God that keeps us in tune with His ways. Be humble before God and take a good assessment that God is in control. And you know it. And you just know you are who you are because of Him. Now there's another word in this verse. Rather think of yourself with sober judgment. I thought long and hard about that this week. Sober judgment. What does that really mean? Well, if I'm sober, I'm clear-headed. I've got my faculties. I've never been drunk, but I'm just assuming. If I'm sober, I have all my faculties. I'm thinking straight. I can look at things honest. And this sober judgment is saying taking an honest assessment of our lives. One of the things that we had to do for District Assembly reporting this year, our year in reports that were due last week, they're done, hallelujah, praise the Lord, is take an honest assessment of our church. It was asking questions about financial generosity, financial giving. Are there new people around the church? How we relate in compassion and prayer and organization and who does what? A whole bunch of things. And as I answered each question, I had to answer them with one, not at all, or five, doing a pretty good job with it. I would like to tell you that we had all fives all the way down this thing and came up with about 125 points. I would love to tell you that. I have to tell you that it was a tough assessment to look at. And while we're not perfect, there were some pretty good points that I was able to put fives down for and say, yeah, we got it together. But I also looked at some other areas that we need to work on, and we're going to begin to do exactly that. As I was filling that assessment out over the last couple of weeks, I began to look at my own life and say, Lord, search me. Who am I really? How's my prayer life? How's my devotional life? How do I react to other people? How do I react to the tough things of every day that come along my way? It gets kind of sober and quiet when you start doing that in your own personal life. But I think it's something that each of us needs to do. We just need to do it. Who am I? Why do I do what I do? Who am I to God? What is God doing in my life? How is God transforming me and getting rid of the rough edges? And then I look at this last word, measure of faith. What is the measure of faith? The disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, increase my faith. Increase our faith. Others in the New Testament said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And I have to tell you, there's times when our faith kind of goes downhill. There's times when our faith gets rattled. There's times when it's awful hard to keep our eyes on God and what's going on in the world around us. But I don't think that's what it's talking about here. Think of yourselves as sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. That phrase is tied into those next verses that we're going to go into next week. But when I look at this whole thing, it tells me that my soul is mingling with God's Spirit. And He lets me know that all is okay. He lets me know that I can have this sense of peace, a sense of I can do this with God's help. And so that measure of faith becomes God in me, increasing my holiness in my life, increasing the way that I do things to be more and more like Him. And He gives me what I need to live for Him day after day after day. And so I become closely knit with Him and His Spirit, and He becomes closely knit with my spirit. And yes, He increases my faith to believe that He can do things. And some of us may need more faith than others. Some of us may have to yell, Lord, I believe, but keep pointing me in the way and help my unbelief to know that I can do this through You. I look at this thing of true humility. And to me, it tells me that I come to God with no baggage. Lord, I'm not bringing anything to the table here except me. I'm not bringing all those wonderful things that I'm capable of doing. I'm not bringing You all the toys that I have and saying, Lord, I can use them for You. I'm just bringing myself to God with no baggage. I'm bringing myself to God with no resume. You know, you go apply for a job and you have this resume of all these things you've done down through the years and how wonderful they were and pointing out all your good qualities. Lord, I'm unworthy. I have no good qualities on my own. They all come from You. I come to God in true humility. No baggage, no resume, no plans. Lord, if You'll do this for me, I'll do that for You. Lord, here's my plans, and as You bless my life, bless my plans. I have a real hard time with that one because my mind's going all the time on things we need to do. My mind is just bubbling over right now with so many good things that are coming our way as a church that is just blowing my mind. Some things that have taken place the last 2 weeks as we're preparing to do some outreach in the community. But I've had to stop and slow down and say, Lord, what is Your plan? You see, that's why we have to come to God personally. What is Your plan, Father? What is Your plan? And then, I have to let Him do the work in us, in me. I have to allow Him to pack my bags, to redo the resume, to show me His plans and where He wants me to go and do things, and let Him work in me to increase my faith as He renews my mind.